A signing ceremony at the White House. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Trump said it for this afternoon following a vote after midnight in the House that cancels $9 billion in federal spending DOGE had targeted as wasteful.
We're going to downsize the scope of government. Government is too large. It does too many things, and it does almost nothing well.
That's House Speaker Mike Johnson. Most of the funding was foreign aid. The rest takes money from PBS and NPR, which Republicans say have a liberal bias. No Democrats supported the bill. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says it's an attack
on the public health of the American people, the national security of the American people, the public safety of the American people, and the ability of the American people to actually get information, particularly in rural America.
Another bill the president could sign today is crypto-related and also passed the Senate earlier.
It creates U.S. stablecoins backed by the U.S. dollar. There were fears among some conservatives this really put us on a path to a central bank digital currency, even though one of the other bills that passed is literally called the Anti-Central Bank Digital Currency Surveillance Act. The other bill that passed, the Clarity Act, establishes which crypto can be considered a commodity versus a security.
That's Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. At the House a short time ago, a third ex-Biden administration staffer took the fifth, refusing to answer questions to the Oversight Committee investigating former President Biden's mental fitness and if a decline was covered up.
James Comey is the chairman of the committee, the Republican out of Kentucky. He said this in a statement. It's a long statement. I'll just read one line. There is now a pattern of key Biden confidants seeking to shield themselves from criminal liability for this potential conspiracy.
That's Fox's Bill Hemmer. Now, President Trump posted on Truth Social, he absolutely loves that one of his critics is being taken off the air. Stephen Colbert told his audience last night CBS will cancel the late show in May.
Yeah, I share your feelings.
CBS is calling it a financial decision. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe, and if you want to do business with a company that actually stands for something, switch to Pure Talk. I did. Sure, I appreciate being on America's most dependable 5G network with unlimited talk and text for just $20 a month. But what I really appreciate is Pure Talk's commitment to our military and to our skilled workforce. That matters to me. Save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword Mike Rowe. Pure Talk, a wireless company that actually stands for something.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/policy. That's ethos.com/policy.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. Local students are helping shape the future of healthcare in Yuma. 40 high school and college students are participating in Onvita Health's week-long healthcare career camp. Students get to work alongside doctors and first responders and get hands-on exposure to medical careers through mock surgeries, casting demos, and real emergency response simulations. And the Crossroads Mission is accepting school uniforms and supplies for more than 10 kids who are currently staying at the family shelter. The children attend kindergarten through high school. Personal hygiene products and canned food are also needed. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Scott Gross.
Sunshine all weekend long with daytime highs around 105 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Nighttime lows around 80 through the weekend.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg and Russ Clark here. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning again.
You know, the beauty is when I talk to you off air and your head's not in it, then we miss it by 15 seconds.
I didn't actually. I got it right then. I got it right on time.
But you went, oh my gosh, I don't have your music.
Well, we got. I didn't have that.
That's right. All good.
Yeah, I don't care about you that much.
I know. That's all right. And I still come in because I'm not doing it for your platitudes.
No, you're not.
So, you know, again, we've had a lot of conversations and you look at some of the things. What just happened?
With?
Right here. It wasn't quite right, but jump at it, make it work, get back after it, and it's okay.
Nobody listening would have known except you busted me.
I know. Well, that's what I do here once in a while. But again, it's so interesting that just happened because half the time people don't want to come in and sit down and talk to me is because they just ran into a weird accident. Something like that happened. There's blemishes, there's credit things, there's things that, you know, they don't want other people to know, so they won't come in. And that's the same as, you know, you don't go to your doctor when something's sick. No, that's when you go to the doctor. You don't go, hey, doc, I'm not coming in for my appointment because I'm sick. When I heal myself, then I'm going to come see you.
Right. I need to lose 10 pounds, and then I'll go join the gym.
Yeah, then you'll hire a trainer. Then you, as soon as you lose the 10 pounds, then you'll change your food, eating habits, et cetera. And so, again, you go back to, guys, there's so much opportunity out there right now. And one of the and again, I'm going to say interesting things. Have you heard all of the chatter about the ability to use a different scoring model?
For what?
For credit.
No.
Okay. So here's what's really interesting to me is, you know, there's the three credit bureaus. Now, I don't like half the stuff that they do. I don't like the unsolicited selling my information where I do the opt-out pre-screen. I do the do not call.gov. I don't expect you to sell my information, and I wish everybody would get on those lists because that's how the credit bureaus make lots of money, is they're selling your information. Well, right. Regardless, there's the three scoring models. Every loan in the planet is based on a score of some sort, which is literally just a numeric value assigned to risk.
Yeah, 550 is a score.
Okay, so 550 is a score. Is that riskier than an 850?
Yes.
By a lot.
A lot.
So the credit score assigns a risk factor, and that's how lenders know whether, A, they should lend, B, maybe they should charge a higher rate of interest for people within those buckets
or
because
just
they know
the
they're
going
to lose money.
Run
on
from
some,
you.
Maybe. Yeah. But now that you're pushing this politically and there's other industry partners that are pushing, hey, we need these other FICO programs because it's going to help more people get into whatever it is, whether it's homes or cars or credit cards. Yep. Now, let me ask a question.
Yep.
If I took you on a scale, how much do you weigh right now, Russ?
Right at 200.
Cool. I don't like that number anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to change that, and we're going to measure in kilograms. Your weight change?
No.
Oh, cool. Okay, you know.
But it sounds like it's less.
Right, okay. And let's. What's it going to be today? What's the temperature here in Yuma, Arizona today?
It's going to be 107.
Okay, I don't like that. I don't like that temperature. Let's change it to Celsius.
Yeah, it sounds better.
Okay, cool. So the number changed, but did the underlying risk factors change?
No, but it may become a little more difficult to dig it out.
Oh, so for the very short run, people are going to feel better because things are changing. And then when the 6 months or a year worth of data comes in and you go, oh my gosh, this new scoring method, when this credit range people come in, we have a higher percentage of default. We have to change what happens. So right now, you know, it's not perfect, but 620 is kind of like the line of demarcation that if you have a credit score above 620, certain things happen. When you have a credit score below 620, certain other things happen.
Sure.
You know, like in a Gubby loan. But if you go to a new scoring methodology and everybody converts to that, just like Celsius, when does water boil on Fahrenheit, Russ? You better get this.
212? I don't know.
Okay. We all should know that.
Okay.
But because we were educated here in the States under imperial methodologies, where does it boil Celsius?
Don't know.
You better. I'm going to sit here in silence until you figure that out.
I don't know.
Come on.
100.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even look it up, but it just hit me. It just hit me that it was set at 100. I forgot that.
I hope everybody is laughing hysterically right now. But that's that. Wait a minute. The process of the boiling water didn't change.
No.
Just what we call it changed. So if you change the scoring methodology, does that mean that many more people are going to be able to buy a home, buy a car, get a credit card, do anything? No.
Maybe in a short run.
Right. Until you go back and score it and go.
But is it about making people feel better?
Oh, say it isn't so.
I say it's so. Like, you know, someone starts running around with a.
Gosh, you and your logic.
With a low credit score, and all of a sudden their credit score is going to double or going to feel great. Now my credit score is a lot higher. But that's like minimum wage to me. You know, they changed the minimum wage to $15 an hour, but bread goes up triple. What has changed? Nothing.
Because the wrong thing changed. The first thing, not the result of what's going to happen. So, again, there's a ton of industry chatter about changing credit scores and changing X, Y, Z. Now, you know, you have medical collections.
Right.
Medical collections hurt you just like any other collection. Now, if you don't pay your credit card bill on time and it goes to collection, that's an active thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you got hit by a bus and went to the hospital and had $100,000 of medical collections, it may not be your fault and it's medically necessary because you got to live. So we as lenders don't look at medical collections, haven't in quite some time.
But it's real debt.
But it is real debt, correct. But we don't address that because it was outside your control.
Right.
Now, this whole credit scoring methodology, one of the talking points underneath is, oh my gosh, now the credit score doesn't take into account any of the medical collections, not just the debt, the collection. We really didn't take that into account in the first place.
Oh, you didn't? But if you're paying $500 a month in medical bills, it should show up on your chart somewhere that I'm taking $500 out of my disposable income and paying medical bills every month.
And that would show up.
And then you should say, okay, good. Then we'll work around that. We'll work within your limits.
Well, here's probably one of the biggest things that I think the industry is going to go to over the next, I'm going to guess 5 years, it could be faster the way AI is moving, is right now we look at 4 to 5 main things. Can you name any of those? If I'm going to pre-approve you for a loan, what do you think I typically look at?
Income,
which is based on pay stubs and W-2s or tax returns.
And then debt.
Debt off your credit report. What's there?
Yeah. And cool. You can have your monthly payments in debt. You know, you want to look at how much outgo you
job
got.
Job stability and stuff and like that. Kind
of, yeah.
So here's probably the biggest thing that the industry is going to change. Right now, all of that are those leading indicators or lagging indicators?
Well, the ones I just mentioned were leading, I would think.
Well, your pay stubs are the result of where you are now, not where you've been. Your debts.
Correct.
So.
But for what am I going to go into your office? But I've got this great idea and I put a resume in and I'm going to get a job making twice as much next month. You know, that doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't. But all of that doesn't take into account daily living costs, all the other cash. Because, I mean, let's be honest. How many people do you know run a cash-based business that don't claim all of their income and deposits just go?
I know a few.
A few hundred, a few thousand, you know a lot.
Yeah.
But point is, here's what the industry is going to go to. And I'm not just talking mortgage. I'm talking mortgage, auto, credit cards. You're going to look at 12-month bank statements.
Okay.
It's going to be automated.
Yeah.
You literally get what's called a VOA, a verification of assets.
What goes in, what comes out of the bank.
It sucks out your 12-month statements, and it's going to itemize everything in and everything out, period. Now, you and I use 50% income to debt ratio, meaning I can't use more than half for your house, car, credit cards, because you got to leave money for food and gas and
it's
groceries.
Important stuff.
Cool. If you do that 12-month bank statement analysis,
yeah,
you got a dollar left over, you're getting a loan after the mortgage payment. So let's pretend you deposit $5,000 on a monthly basis and you're spending $4,000 currently. And out of that $4,000, you're paying $1,000 rent.
Okay.
So you're really spending $3,000 on everything else. That means you've got $1,000 for rent that would go away if you bought and $1,000 extra free. Literally, the industry is crafting this right now that, okay, Russ, you could qualify for a $1,999 house payment because you'd have $1 left after all of your spending at the movie theater and the coffee shop.
I would consider that dangerous unless part of that $4,000 was going into savings.
But that's where we already are. it's not new. It's just the phraseology, because right now when we stop at 50% debt to income ratio, do I as a lender look at gross revenue or net?
Net.
No.
You look at gross.
Yeah. Every lender on the planet looks at gross. You make $20 an hour, that's $40,000 a year.
This would move it to net.
Oh, so we're saying the same things. We're using 100% of your net, not 50% of your gross. And when you say, I look at 50% of your gross, I'm not adding what you put in at the gas station or took out at the coffee shop or over at the casino. I'm only looking at your house, your car, your credit cards, maybe your student loans, maybe the collections. Is that ever everybody's full budget?
Is that really real where you would be getting bank statements instead of...
We already do.
You do.
We already do. So what I'm talking about right now, we have loan programs, and again, love them because they very much help some of the self-employed people based on how their tax returns are done. But I can get 12-month bank statements all day long, do a cash flow analysis out of it and say, okay, if these are your personal bank statements, this is the percentage we are comfortable using. If these are your business bank statements, this is the percentage of your deposits that we're comfortable using, because you got to leave cash.
But if somebody's doing cash business on the side, you can't do anything with that because that's not documented.
But that's not where this is going, because when it's deposited, now it's trackable.
If it's deposited, yeah.
Correct. So that's going to be the next wave. And you remember what happened. What was the whole uproar about the IRS and deposits and bank statements 3 or 4 years ago?
I don't remember.
You don't remember when they changed it? Remember like a SARS report if you deposited more than $10,000 cash?
It's been out there, yeah.
Cool. Now it's $500.
Oh, but what's the IRS going to do with all that information?
Well, now you're looking for cash deposits that they need to tax.
Wow.
So that was the link, and don't you realize how fast that uproar disappeared?
So that just means every paycheck you put into your bank is going to automatically get a report, every single paycheck.
That the data is being collected, and anything over a $500 deposit is a triggered flag that's reported somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know what they do with it. But that was the precursor to the government being able to tax deposits that look like other business income, that you're running a cash-based business and not paying your fair share of the tax.
I'm going to do all my transactions in Bitcoin from now on.
I think you should. No. Although, I think it would be really hard.
Yeah.
Because you still use a flip phone. I don't think you have a cash app and a crypto account on your phone. But, you know, get your granddaughter over here to help you.
I don't. Crypto would be too risky for me.
Everything has risk. And so go back to that hiccup that we talked about this morning. Okay, we're on the air, a little clunky. It wasn't perfect. Nobody knows the difference, and I'm not calling you out. Credit gets clunky. People need help, but they need to be told the right reasons for things and ask for help when there's an issue or slightly before, not way after, and then go, man, I tried to fix it myself and I made it way worse. Right. Like if somebody puts you on the all cake, all chocolate cake with double buttercream frosting diet.
Oh, that's fun for a week.
Okay. But somebody truthfully told you that's something you need to do, and then you tried it and your diabetes kicked in and you added 25 pounds. Shouldn't you ask for help maybe a little earlier?
Yeah, before then.
Let's take a break. We'll come back after these important messages. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Everyone's trying to get it right. Get it right. Everybody's working. This is Derek Avery, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Mm-hmm. well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Ra ra ah ah ah, ra ma ra ma ma, ga ga, ooh la la, what's your bad romance?
Hey, Yuma, good morning. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Hagerberg, Russ Clark. We're talking mortgage credit industry changing. And it is interesting because a lot of these changes seem to be slightly feel good when you're changing credit scoring methodologies.
Yeah, because you're not going to really change the fact that you have to show responsibility, you have to show consistency, and you have to show ability. And that's whether you, no matter how you color it and what kind of gauge you use, or which methodology you use, it's going to come out with something similar.
Yeah, you literally are going to have to prove that you have the income to support something and that you have the character to follow through the payment.
And that's discipline. And look, I know so many people that mean well that have no discipline and will go out on a weekend and blow a bunch of money and then ask to borrow some money for lunch on Monday. That guy shouldn't own a house.
I was going to say, how are most of your staff members?
Well, they're not. They're not even my staff members. I don't think they'd ask me that.
No. And again, that's that. If you go back to where the industry is going, if you looked back at a 12-month or even a 24-month bank statement tracking system, I know people that went to the convenience store three times a day.
Yep.
And this, you know, this person that I'm going to reference would buy a Polar Pop, something to snack on, and a pack of Pokemon cards.
Pokemon.
Three times a day.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. I'm just pretty...
Sounds more like your son.
No, wasn't. it was a customer. But if you said, all right, you're going to spend $10, let's say $10 twice a day.
Yeah.
Let's do the math. That's 20 bucks a day.
Yeah. It's $200 in 10 days, $600 a month.
There you go. Now, if you said this is work day, cool. You're only doing it 5 days a week. Great. You're not doing
still 20 days.
You know, $100 in a week.
Yeah.
$430 a month. Just on this convenience thing, how does that play out in my system right now?
It's $5,000 a year.
But as a normal lender, that's why right now we look at 50% income to debt ratio, because we don't look at those things. That's lifestyle. But under that new banking program, you'd see all of that. But you're allowed to use 100% of somebody's income, because if they have a dollar left on a consistent basis over their 12 months, are we really tracking all of the makeup that they're buying and the shoes that they're buying and the Pokemon cards and the cigars and coffees and whiskeys?
But if you have a transmission that breaks on your car, I guess you go to GoFundMe. That's why GoFundMe exists.
Well, Russ, under the current system where we say 50% debt to income ratio, do most people save for a transmission now anyway?
Probably not.
The answer is no, because 50% of your gross is not 50% of your net. So 50% of your gross for most people is you got like 75%.
But a lot of people come in and have that kind of. We've had a couple this week had an engine fail in their Cadillac Escalade.
Ooh, sounds expensive.
Doesn't it? And we've had two engines fail this week.
That hey, I've got a used Suzuki engine. I can drop right in that bad chicken for you.
No, but we tell them the price. You know, you say, hey, you know, that's $15,000. And they go, oh, no problem. When can it be ready? And then you got some that just have a heart attack and fall down. You have to resuscitate them.
And the irony, what you and I don't know, because I'm the only one that gets to see people financially naked, the person who fell out with a heart attack may have the cash in the bank and is a miser. And the person who said, oh my gosh, just let's go, is probably putting it on a credit card and may pay 30% interest.
I took it the other way. Looking at the people and knowing the people involved.
And you're probably right. But that's the thing, is you and I don't see what's behind the curtain for the most part.
No.
And that's what that new 12-month bank statement program would look at, literally everything behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And you'd say, wow, Russ Clark likes to go to Albertsons and get a bag of Takis every morning and a strawberry milk. You know, those kind of things that's budgeted for. But it's not going to change whether groups of people can buy loan or buy homes, because there's already programs out there that help do self.
Then why are they making the change, Derek? Why would somebody sit down and say, God, if we change this, that's going to be so worthwhile to disrupt the entire industry, change everybody's habits, and it's going to be just so much more fair.
Default rate.
What do you mean?
Well, if I now look at your 12-month bank statements and I see that you have a spending habit that doesn't allow you to support it, you're going to get declined. So let's pretend you and I have the exact same house, the exact same car, the exact same credit cards, and the exact same income. Mm-hmm. Everything's the same. Under normal loan circumstances with the same credit score, you and I are both getting the house, right? Under the new program, everything is the same, except maybe I'm that miser who doesn't spend anything, and you overspend, and you have NSFs on your bank statement every once in a while, and you're running to the absolute max and a little above.
Right.
You don't get it. I do. Or they're going to price in, Derek has 10% more revenue left at the end of the month, so he's going to get a better rate.
So there's going to be a real sensitivity to massage your banks. Make sure it's you don't have an NSF. Make sure you have access.
There you go.
So it's just a focus is going to be different.
There's exactly it. Is the focus changes, but it's all about mitigating risk and making sure that the risk is priced in
correctly. I don't think this helps them do that. Because the guy's got NSF and all that other stuff, and is you're going to see that anyway.
No, we're not.
You're not? I mean, you
tell me, and this is, again, it's not designed to help you and I as a consumer. It's designed to help the industry reprice risk.
But in the industry.
Right? But hold on. When right now, what is the major factor that the industry prices a loan based on?
Well, credit score. Right now, it's credit score. That's okay, it. That's, cool. That's the first one.
There you go. So right now, when they move to this new system that is being tested right now by multiple organizations, if you say, I have 20% of my revenue left over after all bills, am I in a safe spot?
Yeah.
Very. If you have 1% of your revenue left over, are you in a safe spot?
I think it's sketchy, but
okay. That's going to reprice those loans. Wall Street is going to pay differently, not necessarily for the credit score anymore, but they're going to look at what your after expense cash flow is.
Okay.
That's what this is designed to do. Now, what's the likelihood somebody with 20% cash flow extra is going to default?
Near zero.
Near zero.
They probably would lay awake at night thinking they've got 10% reserve.
You literally just hit the nail on the head. Why is this happening? It has nothing to do with you and I getting a home loan. It has nothing to do with me being able to give a home loan. It's literally Wall Street creating another product that is going to reprice risk in, truthfully, probably a better way. You know, if you said, we're going to track credit score, you started with a bank statement. If you have NSFs on your checking account, but you had an IRA with $40,000 in it, do I need to put your checking account in the file?
Right now, you mean?
Right now. I would not need to do that if you showed me an account with $40,000. And if you wanted to be unscrupulous and you just never gave me your checking account and said, Derek, here's my IRA of $40,000. And I only need $20,000 to close, I don't need to, and I wouldn't think to ask for this because you've already shown me more than double the assets we need. But now let's pretend we're only looking at Russ Clark's money that he deposits. So your radio station fortune that you make here in deposits, the money that you make for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I looked at 12-month bank statements, am I going to catch the NSFs? Oh, now I get to ID you and really look naked under the hood financially.
Right.
Now you see the NSFs, or, oh my gosh, he had to put money from his line of credit into the account. And then when the paycheck came in, pull it out, that they're looking at, are you spending more than you had in the bank?
And that's a lifestyle I can't even imagine. That makes me nervous. I would be unhappy.
You've been unhappy a lot, Russ.
Pretty much. That just sums me up.
That's... So again, looking at industry changes, I love them, and it's fun to keep up with them, and some of them make sense. You know, is there a trend that this could help people who do have cash-based businesses qualify for a home? 100%. However, now that you're going to get a government-insured loan and the IRS has already said they're going to track deposits of $500 or more, is the idea that these two systems are putting people in the system that they can be tracked for taxation.
I just can't believe they put it in there. $500. I mean,
look it up. I'm not making this up. I believe you,
but I don't know what they're going to do with that. That's too much information.
Russ, okay. When you say too much information, how long ago did the federal government start recording every phone call in America?
Well, it's put into metadata, but it's not. They don't really sit down and go through every recording. It's just there if they need it.
I didn't say they go through every one of them, but what's the old AT&T room? Was it 681, 618, the very first fiber line that was split and truncated?
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't.
Look it up. So no. I'm just saying that fiber line, and this is not anything that's not out in the open publicly. It's on Wikipedia, for crying out loud. You know, the first fiber line was split and duplicated, and one went to governmental recording and one went to you and I still as a consumer. Cool.
Right.
That data is there. What they want to do with it, who knows?
Well, we were all told early on, we're just going to collect it. No one's going to touch it unless there's a warrant. And then we find out that was all a lie.
Right. So this data that is going to be collected with $500 deposits,
they won't touch it.
And the bank statements that show cash deposits. I don't know what they're going to do with but clearly it's aggregating data.
I just think that's an overreach. Jeez.
Well, yeah, I notice you're not typing.
I'm not.
You didn't want to look it up?
I don't want to look it up.
All right.
But I just think it's an overreach of the government. I mean, that's really like digging into your personal records without a warrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they put it so ridiculously low at $500, they're going to basically get everything that they're
Well, the good news is you're so cheap, you don't give your grandkids more than that, so it's okay. They won't be tracked.
Yeah, nothing. Nobody's getting anything more than $4.99.
I thought it was coal, like blow-up dragons and lumps of coal.
That's it.
So, you know, again, here's the fun thing. We can be joking and jovial about this, and it's just paying attention to what's happening. So whether it's that or anything else financially on the globe. Here's an interesting thing to me. I don't know what it means, but I'm not doing anything other than just kind of paying attention to what's happening. Do you know what a broker dealer is?
No.
Okay. So, and I'm not talking your dealer on the corner, those kind of things. But, you know, broker dealer is one that is an aggregator of products of one sort or another, kind of like a cash advance place. So some of those broker dealers aggregate bonds, investments, portfolios, and hold it for one reason or another. You need collateral, so they're going to give you collateral and put liens on things. It's interesting that when I'm looking at the amount of money that broker dealers are holding, back in 2007 and 2008, just at the crash, broker dealers were holding about $1.1 trillion worth of assets. Over the years, that's gone way down, way down. Now, I don't know what this means, but as of last quarter, broker dealers are now holding $1.17 trillion worth of stuff, which is more than what they held when we had the last issue. Now, if I aggregated a bunch of debt, and here's what's interesting to me, I think that signals that their thinking rates could come down. If I had a bunch of portfolio, let's say $1 trillion worth of debt that I bought that was 6% interest rate notes, and the market dropped and came down to 4% interest rates, are those assets worth more money?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So I'm not saying anything about a collapse. I'm saying it's interesting that this subset of the industry, these broker dealers, are aggregating all of this debt the way it is now, bonds, mortgage-backed securities, and they're currently holding the largest portfolio they've ever held in the tracking of broker-dealer aggregated assets. Does that signal maybe rates could come down over the next 12 to 24 months?
You mean with Powell?
Well, isn't it interesting?
I have no idea.
Well, here's what's interesting for me on that. Trump is pushing for that 3-point drop.
Yes,
and Trump said, I will never, never, ever, ever leave my post. It's a 4-year post.
He can be. They have been removed before, but that's a big political upheaval.
But it's interesting because some of the things, again, when you say what happens if you drop the Fed funds rate, Does that make debt easier to pay?
Well, not for you.
Not for me, not for you, but for the United States, does it make it easier to pay?
If he drops it, we have less expense.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have more money going to principal, less
Correct.
Money going to interest. Sounds like a good idea to me.
It's a good idea. They do it for different reasons.
Oh, say it in so. Yeah. Are you saying there could be political reasons?
Somewhat.
Okay. Again, just talking about, here's what's interesting is just having an observation of, I don't know what that means, but if these broker-dealers are now holding $1.17 trillion worth of securities, why would you hold it if you thought it was going to become less valuable?
Oh, you wouldn't.
Oh, okay. So to me, the only way, and again, this is just little old Derek and little old Yuma, Arizona.
They think it's going to get cut.
The only reason you hold that is you think let's go really crazy. Either the interest rates drop and they're worth more, or you have some kind of a event that makes these things purchased by your rich uncle with the unlimited checkbook for more money, like they did with bailouts and other things. I don't know which it is, but it sure is interesting that ballooned up. And on my chart, it's literally higher now than it was in 07 and 08. Those guys got bailed out and bought out and made a gazillion dollars.
Okay.
Did they not?
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay. So it's one of the two, because what do you like to invest in, Russ?
Fries.
Okay. French?
Yeah, mostly.
Okay. But, if you said, hey, I love silver coins.
All right.
If you thought silver coins were going to go down in value, would you hold them?
No.
Cool. If you thought silver coins were going to go up in value, would you buy a here's a professional term, a crap ton of them?
Yeah, a crap ton would be good.
Okay. That's the only thing I can think of is this group is telling me without telling me that these bonds are going to be worth more money in the future. I think that's good for homeowners. Yeah, so hold them. And I think that's a great opportunity to get things now. Because if you get things now, and I'm just me personally, if I could buy a home now where interest rates are and qualify, if that signal to me says over the next 12 to 24 months, which is what you and I have been talking about, I think that's my time frame, that kind of gives me a little bit of leverage that I think I'm right. If I think the rates are going to come down in the next 1 to 2 years, but I already own the asset, cool, I can refinance it, save money later, which is exactly what we said the federal government would do. Refinance the debt, save money, and now the payment's cheaper over time. Awesome. If you wait till rates come down, National Association of Realtors says for every 1 point drop in rate, property values go up 10%. So
doesn't sound like a good deal.
So you're not going to make anything. You're not going to get any farther ahead because the payment's going to be the same if you waited for a 1 point drop, if values do go up according to that same formula. So again, it's just interesting watching the things, and it's no different than when you're driving down the road, Russ. Do you look just in front of your hood, or do you try to look farther down the road at what the stoplight's doing, if there's an accident a mile in front?
I'd look farther ahead. I do. I'm always scanning.
How many people drive literally looking just in front of the hood that they're in the lines, but they don't really pay attention?
I don't want to know, because that's not the safest place to be.
It really isn't. So I think we've got another break coming up, so we will take a break here. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Hey, Yuma, Money Talk AM 560, KBLU, Derek Eggerberg, Russ Clark, talking to you today. And by the way, thank you for your help on the 4th of July.
Oh.
That was fun.
Thank you for the recommendation, man. Worked out well.
So I don't know how many people were out of town on vacation. So for everybody who didn't hear the show, what happened 4th of July?
We went out and did it live from the flag raising ceremony with Caballeros. So that was that's a worthwhile venture.
Mm-hmm. I think that was number one, I love that event. It's a small, intimate event. Would I love to see 500 or 600 people out there this next year?
Yeah.
You know, 4th of July, I love fireworks, love hot dogs, love ice cream. But I very much am grateful that I can start the morning with a flag retirement ceremony and the proper raising of our colors, listen to one of the two commanding officers of these great military institutions, and just start the day correctly with that humble gratitude, if you will.
Yeah. I had people that didn't come over and talk to me because they saw that we had microphones and people didn't want to get on the microphone.
Oh, whatever.
Seriously. people asked me later, were you broadcasting, Russ? I thought so. That's why I didn't come over and say hello. I'm like, really?
And we should. And again, there should be a sign that says, come on over, hello, you know, we can talk to you. But I think that was one of the neat add-ons that you guys agreed and we agreed. Let's broadcast the whole thing and actually connect the podium so you hear what the speakers are saying.
Right. And that worked out really well, tying into the system and all. And then having our good Sheriff Wilmot afterwards and Rob Philby,
yep.
Colonel, talk about the procedure of retiring the flags and all. very good.
And I love the fact that, one more time, you can show people what a proper flag retirement ceremony is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me how many people have never actually seen a true retirement ceremony. Talking to Walt Blakesley, you know, with Post 19, when Walt was telling us how many flags they had retired since they put that collection.
Thousands.
You know, tens of thousands over the lifetime.
Yeah.
And you think that's a noble cause to, with gratitude, retire a flag that's served its purpose. And it's not cheap. And here in Yuma, Arizona, it's often. It's every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
And so one of the next moves is when you say, could we put a bigger flagpole up there?
Of course. You can always put a bigger one up, but I think it's adequate.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Well, here's why. And here's, you know, vision. If you're driving on the interstate coming in, the first thing you see coming in from California, that's a 30-foot pole with a very small flag, intimate for this event. That could be a much larger flag with a much larger flag pole, so people coming into the interstate see that. And I think there's some people who are working on that right now. Back to the flag-raising, flag-retirement ceremony, how much work did you do personally to get that set up?
Well, I don't know, a couple hours ahead of time to come out, put it all together, and then tearing it down and stuff.
So thank you for doing that. That's not your job to do that, but you did that out of love and respect of country in the process.
Sure.
And that's what's interesting is everybody who's out there, it's paying respect to the military personnel and the flag and starting the day right, not just
it's nice to share it though. I mean I enjoyed being able to put it out there for those that have never gone or those that they couldn't go.
Well, did you see the videos that have come out from that?
I have not.
So we brought the videographer in, and we're trying to do some documentary.
Well, I saw him all over the place.
So, well, and he got you in there.
Uh-oh.
He got your good side. If you go to YouTube.com, and if you search for Caballeros de Yuma, the videos are on the YouTube page. They will be migrated over to the Caballeros.org webpage. But go right on YouTube, and you'll start to see the 4th of July videos. There's all of the Midnight at the Oasis videos, the Balloon Festival videos. So starting to document for the community what some of these events are. And I think those two, the flag retirement video and then some of the interviews afterwards, might be some of the videographer's best work. That nailed it for me. And I'm super proud of what the Mado video and the Balloon Festival video are. But
wow, there's a lot out there. I didn't realize they were doing all the Midnight Oasis, balloon festivals.
Yeah, and so really documenting this year what the Caballeros do within the community. But those two, do we have the ability now to show the average citizen, hey, come on out for 4th of July flag raising?
Sure.
It's not a huge time commitment. It's an hour. There's no cost. You know, there's ice cold water provided for people. It's an intimate event. But, you know, as Mayor Nichols and I were talking about, if the event got bigger, you could actually put bleachers in the parking lot and look the other direction, you know, and you could have more people there.
Or
bring in some larger bleachers on the side.
You could put some more chairs in there on some of the areas. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
So that there's, again, next year, hopefully we start showing the videos and people go, you know what, I'm not going out of town for 4th of July. Let's go over and assist and help. So for you, how many people?
I'm busy watching the video right now.
I know. That's why I'm trying to talk slowly. but, you know, again, people helping retire the flag.
Yeah.
You need people to help assist that. Even helping the city personnel take down chairs and stuff. It was cool to watch about 10 other citizens standing there helping put chairs away so the city guys didn't have to do it on their own.
People pitch in. Mm-hmm. They do. And city guys were there early, too.
They were. And, you know, again, thank you to the city of Yuma for helping put that on. The guys that were taking time out of their morning to actually work and help put that on.
Yeah.
You mentioned Colonel Philby, who is the stalwart MC for that, and just making sure that that already is ready to go. You know, just fun to talk to Sheriff Wilmot afterwards about all of his thoughts and questions and concerns. So tons of stuff, but now shifting gears because you're watching videos and I'll just keep talking.
I'm just watching. I'm ignoring you most of it.
I know.
Let's see, it's got Wilmot in it. Kenny Nelson's in there.
You're in there.
I don't know.
No, you're in there. I saw it. Now you look at going forward, coming up, we're already working on the tower lighting, the holiday pageant, the balloon festival.
Sure.
Lots of stuff coming up. Now, you probably don't know this, but the balloon festival is being moved this year.
No.
Okay. It's not being launched at the West Wetlands, and the glow is not at Desert Sun Stadium.
I guess
it's all at the PAC, Pacific Avenue
Athletic
Complex.
I guess I did
read
that. I'd forgotten, but I did.
So, you know, Chairman this year has done an amazing job orchestrating this. So everything is going to be in one location. So this November, the Balloon Festival launches are out at the PAC. The afternoon, there's going to be a concert on Saturday. There's going to be the glow Saturday evening. All in one location. Cool.
I like the pack.
That means you probably have some other vendors and opportunities for food vendors and other people to come out there and turn it into more of a all-day festival. That was the only hard part is when you launch at the West Wetlands, then you got to go to Desert Sun Stadium. You got to take everything down, pack it up, move it, and then bring it back. But that also allows for one other thing that people don't think about. If you're moving several miles to the east, you're now several miles farther away from the border.
Correct.
Winds, if the winds typically are blowing you southwest, if we move farther east at the pack, you have more of a chance for balloons flying over the city of Yuma, giving more people a visual, and you give the pilots a longer flight time, and you give them many more opportunities for safe landing.
It is a few miles, so it does make a big difference.
Huge difference when you talk to Matt Paul and the Balloonmeister. So according to him and the typical wind patterns, and again, you never know. You could have wind change, and this last year you had a bunch of them going out towards the foothills. That was kind of cool.
That was kind of different.
Kind of different. You know, one year I think everybody went into California because the winds took you the wrong direction and nobody flew over Yuma.
As long as you don't go into Mexico, that gets to be a lot of paperwork.
Well, that's why moving it several miles to the east as a launch site actually is a benefit for the pilots. But it's also going to be a benefit for the consumers because you're going to be in one area for launches, for some music, for some food, for the glow in the evening. There will be the fireworks again. There will be the drone show again. Tons of stuff all at the pack. Is the visualness going to be even better at the pack?
Of course.
There you go. So
better access, easy. You know, you could see it from the road even. You don't have to be in there.
And
you can drive, it'll get more visibility.
Which, if you're driving, same conversation we just had about the flagpole at the Armed Forces Park, anybody driving into Yuma in the evening during that time is going to see the fireworks, the drone show, or the canopies lit up during the glow. So, again, kind of another good show with some great photo opportunities. Same thing with the tower lighting. Videographer is going to be here for that, producing some of the videos that you were just watching. So,
oh, that was a great video. It's only like 2.5 minutes or so.
Did you listen to it?
No.
Why not?
I was listening to you, actually.
You were not. You're not even paying attention. With when you see some of these videos, and what's super cool about these, and you on the radio helping us do this, what's super cool is seeing the passion behind these events.
Yeah.
And seeing how really amazing some of these events are, whether it's Midnight at the Oasis, the Balloon Festival, the flag retirement. That means something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't see the video and you weren't there, you don't even know that that existed. How many people here in Yuma know that there's an annual flag retirement, flag raising in the morning?
Less than half.
You think it's that much?
I know. I just said much less than half.
Yeah, I think, you know, 10%, 5%.
Right.
And, you know, if you have young kids that have never seen a flag retirement, I'm blessed that I've been able to show my kids what a flag retirement ceremony is. You know, you could bring your kids out at 7 a.m. You know, I know, wake them up, get them out of their pajamas, throw their shoes on. But you could get there at 7, and by 8:15, you're back home.
Oh, yeah. It goes pretty quick.
What time? You and I were on air, and at like 8:10, everybody's gone. And we did the other 50 minutes of the show live there.
Right.
And
nobody kicked us out, but we were alone. We had Colonel Philby and of course, Sheriff Wilmot.
And those were fun, and those guys can talk your ear off.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot to share.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
And it was interesting listening some of Colonel Philby's history, getting into the military, taking the family around, having to get married earlier than he needed to.
It's because, a committed lifestyle.
Yeah.
It is. A family's committed.
Yeah. So again, you go back to why is that important? As a mortgage lender, I'm just a paperwork donkey. I'm a jackass that gets to do mortgages. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. I know. Yeah. You've said it on air, off air. I might as well say it on air. But these military men and women who choose that lifestyle, not mandatory, choose that lifestyle, who are willing to, because that's really what you're signing up for, willing to get shot at for 30, 35 grand a year.
Yeah.
Russ, you ain't getting shot at for 30, 35 grand
a year. Not yet.
Not yet. I don't really want to. You look at that commitment, and it's a commitment. You're moving all the time. You don't necessarily have some of that stability. You have the brotherhood. You have a group of stable people that you associate with. But now it's simply that, you know what, if the flag doesn't look perfect, let's retire it. Let's say thank you in a way. And I know you were talking about flagpoles here, so I'm going to put you on the spot. How are you guys on putting the new flagpole outside the radio station here? Weren't you saying
the flagpole's there? We just need to get a rope up there. I have not looked into it yet.
So you need to be like the old Pace Picani commercial?
Get a rope. No, I need to get a bucket. One of those bucket things and reach
like
up there.
Like a 2-gallon pail, a blue plastic
bucket?
No.
It's one of those buckets you see people working on high wires and stuff.
Oh, a bucket truck.
Yeah.
Well, there's a bunch of equipment out here. Just ask those guys to...
I don't think they got the right equipment for that, but...
Climb in the back of the dump truck. It's all right.
I got a bucket truck over at the shop right now I'm working on, so maybe we'll take it out for a test drive.
Hey, little borrowing action and a rope and get that done.
I wouldn't do that without the owner's permission.
Do you know the owner?
Yeah.
Call him, ask for permission. Right. Text him right now, him or her.
But no.
Anyway, tons of stuff in the mortgage industry, and I'm blessed that we get to look and learn about some of these things. And the other thing is, please, 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 let's help teach people some financial education. And it's amazing to me, in a not amazing way, but how many people have never balanced a checkbook, taken any financial courses, understand debits and credits on a balance sheet, and everybody should run their own personal household budget.
I think that's a lot of people that do not know.
Right. Now, is it because they were never taught as kids? They're embarrassed to ask. They don't think they need to know. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I know, like, even, you know, it's amazing how people don't even understand save money first, then spend what's left, as opposed to spend money first and save if there's anything.
How many people you know go down and buy a car for cash?
Not very many.
That's rare.
Very rare.
But it would be the right way.
Could be.
Yeah. I like it.
I would also say if you told me I could get 0% interest on my five-year loan, I'm buying that bad chicken 0% interest because it's an opportunity cost.
Correct. And that's why I bought that Hyundai Elantra like that. But I hated it because I had to make a payment every month. I just don't like it. I mean, it's automatic. It's all set up. I don't have to write a check.
But there's that opportunity cost. If you told me I'm getting, let's pretend I'm getting 1.99% interest and I could pay cash. And I could go drop that money in the bank and get 3.5% on a money market
fund. Pay the 1.99.
I'm paying the 1.99 and having the money come out of that account and earn a little bit of interest. It's not much.
But it was an emotional tug to me. I didn't really like it.
That's the issue is let's make tactical decisions, not emotional. I would love everybody on this planet to be able to pay cash for the car.
Yeah.
However, let's make really good decisions that if you're not paying cash for the car, great. But do you really need that more expensive car at 14% interest?
Well, that's usually what happens. When you're borrowing money, well, it's just a little more payment. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. If you have it in cash, you really are hesitant to let it go.
How many people enjoy driving, and I know you're one of them, enjoy driving paid-off used cars?
I do. Yeah.
You know, and again, you look at, is your status built, and this is why I think a lot of people have a hard time looking at the budget, is your status built on your car you drive or the house you live in?
No.
But that thing is, guys and gals, you know, teach my kids, help teach your kids, your grandkids, whomever. Man, we got to do some financial education to say, look, you're going to work for the next 50 years. The whole idea of a 20-year retirement, if you start working at age 16, is anybody working a 20-year retirement anymore?
No.
Not very much.
I've read of people that do that retire at 45, which I think is really cool.
Now, you go into the military, you work a 20-year career, you get out with
but
a 20-year pension.
And quit working.
Right. And then you go work for, say, the police department, and you build two or three retirements. Great. That ability to work 50 years is what I think people are forgetting, that Social Security, now, you're old, Russ. You're going to get it earlier than I will. You like that?
I qualified a year and a half ago.
Right.
But I didn't take it because it builds at 8%.
So what year of age will you take it out?
70.
So when did you start working?
14.
What's the math? 56 years.
Yeah.
The average person doesn't understand we're going to work 50 years of our life. We got to have a good financial plan and tactically save and invest slowly.
And try to enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah. I enjoy every day trying to do this a little bit better. And so that's what I'm asking. Everybody help just a little bit, because the 50-year working career, go to any calculator online and go, if I invested $100 a month for 50 years at 8% interest, what would I have?
And the
number would shock you. I'm going to let you do the math, Russ Clark.
I'm not going to do it.
But all of that, thank you to you, Russ Clark. Thank you to KBL Yuma 560 AM. Thank you to the Caballeros and everybody helped with the 4th of July flag raising and flag retirement. That's more of what we need to do. And for all of the military men and women, that's a special thing for active duty and retired. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do for this country. I do believe we live in the greatest country on earth at the greatest time in history. And it's because those men and women have fought and do fought for our freedoms. If you ever need anything and there's anything that we as KBL Yuma 560 AM or Mortgage One can do, please don't hesitate to call. Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay safe. Bye for now.
This is Derek Eggerberg, NMLS number 1808.99 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
You
Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.